Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
I didn't know that. Well, Susan's then why back. Isn't Susan
Let's
here?
Get
why
Susan. See you, buddy.
I'm going to leave and head to the stadium. Go dial up Susan.
I know Susan was celebrating the holiday. That's why you were in last night
right,
with Dave.
Right.
Okay, so you're heading to the stadium after this. All right, we've been talking about all day long, Emmanuel, as far as the lineup goes. What do you think the Yankee lineup is going to look like tonight?
Ben Rice will be in there. So to dispel any trepidation, he'll be in there. First base or catcher. Yeah. I think there's a shot he catches tonight. I'm not sure they're going to do this, but I think there's a real shot. Schlittler and Rice are very familiar with one another. They like one another a lot. They've worked well together. So if there's any spot for Ben Rice to catch, I don't think you're going to see it a lot if the Yankees advance. But tonight could be a spot where Goldschmidt plays first against a soft-throwing lefty. Mm-hmm. This guy's not throwing 99 on you, so a good spot for Goldschmidt. Against any lefty, but particularly this one, maybe Rice catches tonight. But he'll be in the lineup regardless.
Okay, so the Stanton stuff, which I was throwing at Sal earlier, I don't think they'll wind up doing this. I would entertain it. Like, when he's in a funk, you know the swing looks different. He's not elevating balls. He's check swinging. He's out of the zone. He's a mess right now. And he does nothing else except hit home runs when he's hot. So I don't think they'll do it, but is that at least part of the conversation? I know Osmus makes up a lineup. Booty does the same thing. Any thought that Stanton doesn't start?
I don't think there's a thought. I like your point that when he's in slumps, when we see Stanton in a little bit of a slumber before he breaks out, this is what happens. Ground balls to short. He's not impacting the ball. He's not lining the ball. They're not sitting Stanton tonight. I like the creative thought, but he's just so one swing away at all times. And against this lefty, a kid lefty, where he's not throwing hard, this could play right into Stanton's favor where he pops one out early and the Yankees are off and running and they're headed to Toronto right away. I think that's top of Yankee mind and they're not going to do it.
Yeah, as long as he's on the team.
Right.
For me, it was not even a thought. I wouldn't want Stanton on the team just because of the way he limits how you could build a team or even construct the lineup. But he's on the team and he's one of the most biggest threats in that Yankee lineup. What about third base? We kind of kicked that around a little bit before. I know it's against a lefty here. You think he would favor Rosario or Caballero over McMahon? And then which one do you think that he would go with?
I think it's Caballero or Rosario. The interesting part about Rosario for game one is they had to throw him over at second because Max Fried gets so many ground balls to the left side of the infield. That's not who Schlittler is. So I think they would actually be comfortable. Maybe it's a straight Rosario for McMahon. Mm-hmm. And Rosario plays third tonight.
Because you'd rather
that's what I have.
You'd rather his bat than Caballero, but you want you're a weaker glove.
Weaker glove, okay. But Schlittler's not getting a lot of ground balls to that spot in particular. He's not the type a pitcher. If he gets any balls in play, it's normally a fly ball. So Rosario for the first couple of innings, then you could swap him out for McMahon the second you see a righty in the game.
But do you think that they'd be willing, or Boone would be willing, especially if Goldschmidt starts, to deploy a hitter early that could come in and face Chapman late?
Yes.
If you start Rosario with third base.
100%. And I think you're going to see Aaron Boone just be ultra aggressive with these moves. You could see by the fourth or fifth inning some pinch hitting options because that's why they're carrying the extra catcher. You know, for situations like these, they want to be ultra aggressive with the bench. And this is just an all hands on deck, winner take all game, where I do think bullpen and in the lineup, you're going to see by the fourth or fifth inning some moves being made.
Well, I want to ask you about the pen here. So we know that there's a Weaverton pitch last night, the other three high leverage arms, you know, back to back games. If there's a spot, they're coming in, they'll suck it up. We know we'll see them tonight if we have to. But let's say Schlittler and Early don't pitch well, and it's high scoring, and it's early, and you got to go to somebody, and it's not going to be even Weaver in that equation. We see Will Warren. Could we see him fourth, fifth inning?
That was going to be my answer. Will Warren would be the default early on in a spot where you don't want to just start burning your arms, unless it's a put-out-the-fire scenario, and you want to use Fernando Cruz or somebody in the second inning and then go from there. But then you would still see Will Warren after a Fernando Cruz. I think he's that guy who could give you multiple innings, only in a case where Schlittler really far.
How much do you trust him? We don't talk about, I mean, I like him. I know he strikes a lot of guys out, pitches well at home. You really trust Will Warren?
I have trepidation with him because we've seen him blow up a couple times in the first inning, but the Yankees really trust him. They love the stuff. They love how it plays. So that's why in a couple of inning bursts out of the bullpen, you know, that sinker-sweeper combo where it's going either side of the plate and you overlay the two, it's like two different universes. The Yankees see that and they think, wow, that's a guy who could come in a burst get us a couple of big outs, a couple of strikeouts. So I think I would be a little cautious about Will Warren, especially a guy who hasn't pitched out of the bullpen, but the Yankees won't be. They love him.
All right, you mentioned Cruz. We know about Williams and Bednar. All three have pitched in consecutive games here. So it would be asking a third straight day, which I know Williams and Bednar have not. I guess Bednar did it with the Pirates once. Williams has not done that this year. What do you think is going to be the usage for those guys tonight? Hey, just full go. We need a seventh inning spot. It's Cruz, eighth inning Williams, and ninth inning Bednar. Where are we at with that?
Full go. I think all bets are off. You have the off day if you do advance, if you do live another day, but no day is guaranteed. So I think all these guys could go 3 days in a row. Cruz, maybe, after using him two straight and he almost died.
Yeah, right,
I mean, you look at the guy and his emotion. He left a lot out there last night. Maybe you're not going to go four outs with Fernando Cruz. You want two. You want maybe three. Worst case scenario, the rest are full go. Devin Williams has been awesome.
He's been good.
Yeah, he's been awesome. And I think they look at him any spot where maybe it's a hairy situation against the middle of the lineup. He is their most, outside of Bednar, he's their most trusted reliever. Maybe, if not, their most trusted reliever.
What's Weaver's problem this year?
The stuff isn't just that good. Everyone loves Luke Weaver in there, and I think when you look at guys you evaluate based on gut and feel for the moment, you still trust him because he has that little edge to him that you like in a postseason situation. We saw it last year. I think the league has caught up to him a little bit and his stuff. And I go back, if the Yankees do face Toronto, this will be interesting. I go back to the middle of July. First time they were really embarrassed by Toronto.
The one in Toronto,
in Toronto,
right?
Springer teed him up a couple times. The Yankees no longer used him against middle of lineups after that spot.
Mm.
It's been all bottom of the order, you know, bowling, they call it lanes
with the
Yankees. Bottom of lineup lanes. Middle of lineup is Devin Williams now. Weaver, they like him, but in certain spots, it's why he only would have pitched against Rafaela and Sogard the other night.
Ah, that's good analysis there. So, Emmanuel, I mean, listen, first of all, the Yankee season could be done because while they did some good things last night, they got lucky. Durant dropping Judge's ball and left. Eaton, for some moronic reason, not running.
Right.
That's also on the coach. I get that. He couldn't see the ball when it got past Rice. Rafaela not getting down the bunt. We could talk about Schlittler and Boone's moves and who's. The Yankees got a hit. Like, you got to come back. How about put 5, 6, 7 runs on the board and show some offensive flex? Stick some balls in the seats tonight.
I thought last night it was so paramount after a crushing loss like Game 1. You got to get an early lead. Get the crowd to be less tense, as well as the team.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want the stadium to be all tense and you're trailing early, about to be eliminated. So Rice hitting that home run was massive. I think you need the same thing tonight, first or second inning. Because if you start hitting around a young pitcher in what is sixth major league start on this stage, 48,000 people screaming at him, Alex Cora doesn't have many options tonight. He burned through everybody last night. He'll go again, but Whitlock went, what, 47 pitches?
He can't pitch tonight, I would assume, Whitlock.
I would think in an emergency, you get an inning.
Yeah.
But he can't go. I think in an ideal world, Alex Cora would use him for 4 outs, 5 outs again. He can't do that. So if you get the rookie pitcher out of the game by the third inning, can Alex Cora realistically, he almost did a straight flush last night with his bullpen. And the Yankees interrupted that and eventually won the game. I don't understand how he pieces together 6 innings, 7 innings out of his bullpen. Got to get an early lead, get him out of the game.
Yeah, and I just don't think the Red Sox have enough. It's what we were talking about even after the game one loss. Okay, Crochet, you tip your cap, tough game. If the Red Sox lost that game, they were toast. Do they have enough to compete with the Yankees? Like, if the Yankees hit, look at the Red Sox lineup. It's pathetic.
There's really a gap in this matchup and why the Yankees, you look at it from a fan base standpoint, you got to win the game tonight. This team is better.
Yeah.
No, this team's better. And I think the Giolito injury was huge. Why you saw Alex Cora, he would manage any game like it was game 7 in the playoffs, but last night was a game 7 for him.
Yes.
He knew what was looming in game 3. He wanted no part of it. So he was trying to stabilize that game as much as possible. Score that run that they were unable to score. That bunt was putrid. And they didn't score that run. That's where the game was lost for Boston, essentially, in that inning. And now I look at it, they're shorthanded, could early go out there and have an iconic performance. You never know in baseball. But outside of that, absent that, I think Boston's in trouble.
It's easy for me to sit here and say this because, you know, I don't have a spherical object flying at me at 98 that's moving 18 inches in either direction. But I got to tell you, the Yankees, to me, have been too jumpy. You know, last night, 3-0 count to Jazz. He swings, he fouls it off. Stanton's expanded the zone. Judge last night, the strikeout. He let that one sail right over, but he flailed at something in the dirt. I don't know if it was a sink or whatever it was. And it is a fine line between being aggressive, but also...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Being a little bit too sloppy, and I think that they've kind of expanded the zone too much early in the counts.
They have, and even though Jazz ends up having the impact last night, defensively saving a run, offensively scoring the go-ahead run, his at-bats have been tough to watch.
Yep.
This is a guy who needs to stay within himself. He's talented enough. He needs to let the game come to him. He's talking about the 70% Jazz during the regular season. We have to see this in the postseason. When he's swinging right now, it's like he's trying to hit the ball into the second deck in right field, and he can do that, but it needs to come to him. He can't force the issue. I think Jazz is too talented to be playing like that and having that approach at the plate, and I truly think he's the X factor to this lineup because the Yankees are home run or bust only when guys like Jazz aren't getting on and creating havoc on the base paths. They need some of that tonight. They need some of that throughout the postseason.
BT and Sal in studio with Emmanuel Barbaro. You hear him here all the time on the Fan. He was on the call last night filling in for Susan, who was celebrating the holiday. Susan back on the call. Emmanuel back on the postgame, pre and postgame as well. What'd you think of Jazz's little issue there the other night, turning his back to the media?
I just think it's par for the course with him, and you don't want to make it into drama that it's not. Aaron Boone and Jazz have that understanding, and Aaron Boone knows that Jazz is going to say what's on his mind to the media. He's just emotional. Mm-hmm. And I think they have that understanding. I'm sure Jazz expressed that frustration privately as well as publicly. So they're all cool. They're all good to go. But I do think when you look at the late game move, Jazz coming in for defense and then not having Ahmed Rosario actually hits around
the Chapman,
that was a, I got to get right with Jazz Chisholm.
Well, then that's horrendous for Boone to
and
do
he,
that.
Did you see yesterday? We didn't talk about this. Boone did say the one regret that he had was that decision.
And I think that came down to, I told Jazz before the game, I'm talking through Aaron Boone's lens right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I told Jazz before the game, you're not starting, but you will factor in some way, shape, or form. That was his way of making amends.
And he wedged him in.
He wedged him in.
Right. Wow. That was the one. I agree with Boone. That was the one move he should have had back.
Yeah.
Because when you look at it, you want Rosario in that spot.
It made
spot.
No sense.
Jazz had no shot of hitting Chapman.
Yeah. It just made no sense because it went against the whole lineup to begin with. You could debate whether you'd have Jazz or Rice in there, whatever, but their whole reasoning was because they didn't like the matchups with those lefties going against a nasty lefty and Crochet, yet he still had two lefties facing Chapman in a big spot.
The essence of Rosario even being here, even being on the roster, is just to face lefties. Yeah. There's no other purpose for it. He wouldn't be in the lineup.
No.
He wouldn't be on the team if he didn't hit left-handers. So as long as there are left-handers in the game, and you knew Red Sox, if they could, they were going Crochet to Chapman, you got to keep Rosario in the game, even if it damaged Jazz a little bit from an emotional standpoint. That's the only reason you saw him, and I think Boone promised him he'd be in the game at some point.
One play that gets a little lost last night, Devin Williams, the comeback, where he kind of, you know, was trying to short-arm it, and Volpe made a really good play, getting his foot on the bag, great dexterity, and then he had a little juice on the throw, which has been a problem here. Is it as simple as the cortisone shot? I mean, he's hitting a little bit better. He looks a little bit more comfortable on the bases, which is part of being confident. Is it just that he's healthier? What's going on with Volpe? It looks much better.
A little healthier. I think the conviction at shortstop defensively started a little earlier than down the stretch. When McMahon stabilized the left side of the infield, we saw a different Anthony Volpe. It was a mess in the middle of the season. And I think McMahon gets there. He gets to more balls. Volpe doesn't have to force the issue, ranging in the hole, trying to make a throw that should never be made.
And that he really can be. He doesn't have the arm for that.
Exactly. He has that quick release. Mm-hmm. That's his strength over at shortstop. So I think that was stabilized earlier. Volpe, though, could be something to him being a big game player.
Yeah.
You know, we saw it last year. He gets up for these games. He's not trying to pull the ball all the time and be the hero. Stays within himself. This is the Anthony Volpe that I think has the promise the Yankees are talking about. When they stand behind him, it's the guy who can hit the ball to right center field, has natural power, let the ball ride out, and play a solid shortstop. I think there might just be something about these big games and knowing his role in these big games, and we're seeing more of it.
Boone said this. I'd be curious to get your take. You think this is the best Yankee team that he's had to work with since 2018?
Yes, I think it's the most well-rounded. It's hard to discount last year. They were in the World Series,
yeah.
And you had Soto and Judge. I don't think, you know, we could honestly say, without being hyperbolic, in our lifetimes, are we ever going to see two players, all-time players, in their primes, put up the season at the same time that Judge and Soto did back-to-back in the same line? Will we ever see that again?
It was Garrick and Ruth is what it was,
exactly.
Really.
Probably not. It was really that historic, so I have a hard time going against that team, but the lineup was not as deep as it was this year. And I think the bullpen peaking at the right time with some of these guys, it's a deep bullpen with a lot of pedigree, and the pitching... You know, when do you get two lefties in their prime in Fried and Rodon giving you almost 40 wins between the two of them? A lot of things are adding up for this team. It is the most well-balanced team and the most winning team that Aaron Boone has had. It's just a matter of how he deploys it in this postseason.
So at the risk of embarrassing you, I know we got to wrap it up here. We're really happy for you at the station, man.
Thank you.
You know, I like when I know, Sal, you feel the same way. You know, we entered the business a long time ago when the dinosaurs were roaming. But for you, you're just starting out, and to jump into the Yankee booth and a legend steps aside like John, and for you to fit in so seamlessly, you've earned respect. That I want Yankee fans to know, I heard you for two innings last night. I want them to know how seriously you take this. I think how good you are at this, how bright your future is. And you've worked hard. You're young. You're just starting, but you've done a great job, man. We're proud of you.
I really appreciate it. It means a lot. And you guys know, when you step into a place as iconic as WFAN or the Yankees for that matter, like, the things that mean the most to you are earning the respect of your peers,
yeah,
like the people around you. And you just want to work hard and prove your worth. So to have you guys like you in my corner, like, that's meant everything.
Your parents did a good job with you.
Yeah, you're a great kid, and you're great at what you do. And I remember you, I was doing the overnight show on the board, and here you are.
Oh, is that true?
Yes.
Wait, so you used to stare at him watching him yell at the overnight? I didn't even know that. That's funny.
Those are amazing experiences. So I was in college. I just interned here.
I'm the pro!
Yeah, exactly. I might have been back there that night. So I'm in college, and I wasn't expecting them to hire me even part-time as an intern, because I'm like, maybe when I graduate.
No.
They bring me on, and there were some overnights where I'm going from school back here, and I got Sal either in studio or back home. I'm running him on an axe unit. Those were amazing nights. I'm hearing Sal yell at overnight callers. I'm like, this is amazing.
That's good stuff.
And meanwhile, I had to run the board and produce and all that stuff for 15, 20 years before I got an opportunity. Here's Emmanuel sitting next to Dave Sims in the booth for a Yankee playoff game. Well earned. And you do a great job at SNY, and they all love you as well, so you should know that. Now, one thing I know about you that I wish I could do, like, as a broadcaster, you enunciate so well. Can you say Abu Dhabi for me?
Abu Dhabi.
See, doesn't that sound so nice?
Oh, that sounds normal. I could say it like that, too.
Okay, let me hear you say it.
Abu Dhabi.
Let me say it again.
Abu Dhabi.
No, he says it better.
The hell out of here. He says it better.
BT does enunciate well. I'll give him that. Yeah, I got some of it from BT.
Exactly.
And you know what's funny? A challenge for a guy like me. I love enunciating well, but you got to let it flow off the tongue a little bit. You got to be conversational. So my problem is, I'm always listening back to myself. I'm like, you got to sound less like an announcer here. So you got to strike the balance of enunciating, but also, like, You gotta sound like a human being. Yeah, exactly. You gotta converse with the listener on the other side.
Now try Caballero.
Caballero.
He's a pro. He's a pro's pro.
That could be better.
Thank you so much.
Caballero.
Ooh.
There we go.
See, you got a little pizzazz on that.
Spanish, man.
There you go. I didn't.
I did.
That's the problem.
I did.
How do you do? All right. Thanks, Emmanuel, for stopping by. We appreciate your time. As always, have fun at the game tonight. Have fun at the stadium. We enjoy your work. We'll look forward to it.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Hey, attaboy.
Hoffel, you get something to say?
No, I was just saying, I took English and I failed that class.
Yeah, I know, right. I barely could speak English. All right, BT and Sal on the fan. We'll finish up on the phones. We come back, 888-808-1019.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Boomer
and Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.